Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
609, welcome, Monday. Ah, come on, aren't you happy it's Monday?
Woo!
We should have like a thing where my face pops up and you could just punch it. What? You know, because I just said, aren't you happy it's Monday? Woohoo. There's people in traffic right now cursing at me.
Yeah, but they wouldn't punch you.
Oh, sure they would.
People in traffic central as well.
You got to make that noise, though, every time.
Woo! This is show number 1415. Welcome to it. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, Instagram, and all over the place. We're going to play back a little bit of a cool moment from Friday's show where Mac McAnally brought in his buddy Jimmy Buffett. And they sang together. So that's coming up after 7.
I can't believe I missed that show. Yeah. I am so mad.
I almost missed it. I almost went to my reunion.
I heard. That's
thank
terrible.
God. Thank
you didn't make it out of here.
Thank goodness the flight was canceled. I would have missed Buffett.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like
actually, the 3 flights were canceled. Oh, by the way, I finally got my bags back.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was going to ask you.
First bag shows up Friday night at 11:30.
Oh, no.
Did they ring the bell?
They called and they said, we're 4 minutes away. I said, well, welcome. It's 11:30.
Are you kidding? Yeah.
4 minutes away.
That's awful.
And then I made 3 or 4 phone calls on Saturday before I could finally determine that the bag would be delivered. You ready? In an 8-hour window on Sunday. And I said, well, there's a chance I may have to leave at some point. So what's the program here? And then a guy calls me and said, be there in 3 or 4 hours. So we're getting closer, right? Finally called them again. He was 30 minutes out. I couldn't be there. I was actually at church praying for their baggage claim, and he dropped it off.
Do you have to be there when they drop it off?
No, but you want to be able to take a look at it, right, and sign for it and all that.
Yeah, that's true. Could be somebody else's black luggage like everyone has.
Did this guy also have tools to fix your cable?
You should have, right?
Yeah.
In that window. And I left him a tip and an envelope on the door. It's a new system.
Yeah. Okay.
You tipped him for, well, I guess you have.
Are they like Uber drivers, him, right? Or are they luggage return dudes?
I don't know. It's a good question. But then I called the airline, rhymes with American. I called the, because I had 3 flights canceled. So I called the airline and said, you sent one of my bags on a little road trip. My bags actually went to my reunion. I did not. And I just said bags, one bag. One bag stayed here. The other one flew to Rochester and Buffalo. Before it flew back. And boy, the trip it had lots of sense.
Did it come back with a Hello, My Name Is tag on?
Yes, and a t-shirt that said, you didn't get to go to the reunion, and all I got was this t-shirt. But a crazy, weird, because of the weather in the last week, on Thursday, wacky weekend. And then in the East Coast, they got more heat than we did for a couple of days. And whoa, oh, the whining. We had heat like that for 2 weeks. If you watch any morning television this morning, national morning television, it's like Armageddon. Oh, I can't believe anyone survived. There's 200,000 people out without power. Wah, wah, wah.
Coastal elites.
Just toughen up. We'll do the top 6 at 6 here in just a second. Dr. Most later, also special edition of Ryan Noble's after 9 this morning. He's stuck on a plane or something. Maureen Cochran will be appearing this morning with Dean Richards on More on Entertainment and me. I think. I believe she's still at the reunion.
Well, if she's not, where would she be?
Now, wait, she made it to the reunion?
And she went out on Tuesday.
Oh, gotcha.
She was out there with her friends.
Sorry, I missed it. I wasn't here.
Was one of the bags that traveled your golf bag?
Yeah, that's why I was worried.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, it was the backup clubs, and I was still worried. You know what's funny is when I went and made the baggage claim, guy goes, well, could you describe the 2 bags? I couldn't remember the color of the first one. I said, I think it's kind of sort of a beige sort of color. It's metal. Metallic. I think it's metal. Might be metal. And they're closing it? Yeah. I go, what, you're wearing my clothes? How much do you need to know here? And I said, this is shorts, golf shirts, you know, a dop kit, and socks, you know, underpants. So what about the other bag? I could tell them the clubs. I could tell them what clubs they were. I could tell them the balls, the gloves. I could tell them the color of the bag. I could tell them the color of the carrier. So clearly my priorities were in order.
Was it messed with at all? Did anybody take out your driver and do a couple practice swings?
Guy tried to get some, yeah. Shane Lowry actually had the clubs all weekend.
See, I knew it.
Was the sweat rag in there?
The sweat rag? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the thing you guys wipe your face off with. The little towel.
You wipe your face off?
It's for your clubs, Mary.
Oh.
You wouldn't want to use that on your face.
Oh, well, you wash it, I would assume.
Well, not in the middle of the round. We're not. There's not a laundry cart that comes out.
No, but don't you have like a towel for wiping your sweat?
Sometimes. Well, sometimes. Sometimes you use, oh, I don't know, your shorts.
Oh.
Friday, I used just about every article of clothing I had try to sop up the wetness.
Everybody have a weekend they enjoyed?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Yes. What an enthusiastic bunch this is.
Got home from vacation.
Too fast.
It was great.
So I picture your grandkids. Man, are they cute.
They are so cute. And I was with them all week for 7 days, the longest I've ever been with my grandkids.
Which is tremendous.
And the dog. Yeah, it was great. It, not a lot of sleep.
No. Sleep comes later.
Yeah.
By the way, Lauren, my daughter-in-law,
mm-hmm.
Annie Dana, baby number two.
Right.
Annie
She's
Dana.
A little early, right?
Oh. August 2nd.
Okay.
But we're in the no-go window.
Bag packed?
Mine?
No, well, yeah.
My concern with their bag is that if American gets a hold of it, it's going to Rochester.
Right.
Are you on Abigail duty if they head to the hospital?
It's a team effort.
Team effort.
Yeah. The other grandparents are a little more geographically located. So.
I was going to say, it might be hard to get to the double wide.
But this is the thing. When that little guy shows up, it's going to be all about mom for at least a while.
Are you going to ditch the show if it happens?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Please. But Abigail, of course, will need extra attention at that point, and I'm ready to swoop in. Abigail, your parents never really liked you. Come on, let's go play.
Don't say that, Steve.
I will be with Abigail this afternoon. She'll explain the world to me. All right, let's do this. Let's try to keep this show on time for, you know, at least the fallacy of a few minutes.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
You guys ever notice that the hallway from our tech nerd side that leads to the studio, or the studios here, you can't hear the radio station, but in the regular R hallway you can? Why don't we turn the speaker up on the other side, too?
I never noticed that.
These are big problems that I'm working on right now. Big, big problems.
We need a speaker in the bathroom, too.
Yeah, we do need speakers in the bathroom.
There's a speaker in the bathroom. But not
in the main.
Well, you know, Mary could probably speak better in the ladies' room than the rest of us could. Is there a speaker in the ladies' room?
I don't think so.
Oh, you're talking about the main bathroom or the anchor bathroom?
No, the main bathroom.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the anchor bathroom.
So was I. Yeah.
Oh, not that one. No, I never.
You talk about the nasty bathroom around the corner that everybody uses because they're too lazy to walk the extra
20
feet.
Only men use that bathroom.
Well, I would hope.
It has the closets with the clown outing inside of it.
Not going in there.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not true. Jen DeSalvo raced me to that bathroom last week.
Well, she probably had an issue.
Maybe.
You could tell it's mostly a men's room, though, because there's a burning barrel of trash in there and a bunch of guys standing around singing occasional gunfire.
Am I the only one that checks the closet when I go in there?
At this point, yes.
Apparently.
All right, item number one. Illinois Police Department, very, very sensitive to criminals this weekend. Criminal activity in one suburban Chicago town due to extreme heat was asked to, well, they asked the criminals to curtail it for their own safety. Park Forest Police Department said on Facebook Friday, you know, it's just too hot outside to commit crimes. We're asking all aspiring criminals, seasoned veterans, and those who find themselves committing crimes just out of pure boredom to stay indoors. The department proposed that Friday be a perfect day to Netflix and chill. Set your air conditioner at 68. And Windy City temps, of course, hit the 99-degree mark on Friday, continued into Saturday. And the deadly heat wave that's blanketed much of the United States in its final day yesterday on the East Coast. Cold front moved through the Midwest and the East Coast by Monday. You know what I like to see, though, Steve? Is crime statistics. The Park Forest Police, plea to criminals to take care of themselves and stay inside when it's hot. Did that help?
That's a good follow-up question to see what the crime numbers are this morning, not only there, but all over the place, to see if usually heat causes crime to go up because more people go outside to get away from their hot apartments and homes. But we'll see. We'll have a good follow-up.
Did you guys run into any bitchy people because of the heat?
Not really, no.
Short-tempered folks? I didn't know so much.
I was surprised at one point over the weekend. I saw a figure that 169 million people were under a heat advisory, heat warning, or a heat watch in the United States. That one point over the weekend.
Well, it's just good to know that whole global warming thing's a fraud. Sarcasm alert. Next. Following a number of high-profile incidents, including another one this weekend, White Sox fans will be the first to use the full netting, the netting to the foul poles. Monday night fans will see it put to use for the first time at Guaranteed Rate Field. It's all during the All-Star break, the team's 10-game road trip to open the second half of the season. The extended netting will make its MLB debut, and the White House hosts the Marlins. That's tonight, right?
Tonight, 7:10, first pitch.
And I think if you sit in any of those seats and you're concerned, you will find very quickly, ain't no thing.
No.
And a little three-year-old boy got hit at a game yesterday. And he's supposedly doing okay, but it's got to end. These players are bigger and stronger than they've ever been. The ball is allegedly juiced. People are on their phones, and they're not paying attention.
Correct.
Now, a three-year-old's not on his phone, but if you're on your phone and you got a three-year-old in your lap, then you're not paying attention.
Right.
I don't know that that's what happened, but that's the kind of circumstances you could have. Next. Hey, the fat guy won. The British Open. Shane Lowry, big, burly Irishman.
Yeah.
He won really a pretty entertaining British Open, considering that he was wire-to-wire at a big lead. I love the looks of that golf course. I got to go play that thing. Swing by Ireland on my way home.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten there yet.
Lowry's highest career finish before this weekend was second at the 2016 U.S. Open. Was 15 under for the week. He was one over on the final day, but scores yesterday were unbelievable. J.B. Holmes. J.B. Holmes, a professional golfer, was going to win $500,000 if he shot a 75. Instead, he shot 87. That's a Steve Cochran-like tournament score. 87. And he won $25,000 and finished near the bottom of those that made the cut. 87, 16 over par yesterday. The wind and the rain came in, big surprise, and scores were a little nutty. The only American that really came through yesterday was a guy named Tony Finau, some of you may know. Brooks Koepka started with four straight bogeys, and he actually had a pretty good year, though. In the four majors, he finished, I believe... Was it second, third, fourth? Did he win this year? I'm losing track.
Yeah.
Yeah, won the PGA?
Yes, because he's won two PGAs and two U.S. Opens.
So he finished first. He had a first, 2 seconds, and a fourth, I believe.
So J.B. Holmes, here were his rounds. 66, 68, 69, 87.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Next. Well, the world's been dealing with ways to deal with polluting plastic straws. The BBC reports show there's a much bigger pollutant. And as a matter of fact, they call it the biggest pollutant on the planet. You ready? Cigarette butts. 4.5 trillion cigarette butts litter the planet every year. The filters have a non-biodegradable plastic in them. Left in grass, soil stunts plant growth by about 25%. Conservation reports say that 30 to 40% of litter found during coastal water cleanup are cigarette butts. I've never heard that statistic. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, the people world, still throwing them out the windows. Yeah,
the world is not your ashtray.
Yeah. Next, Nashville radio host Blair Garner said his employer, Cumulus Media, prevented him from airing an interview with Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is also a gay man. Garner, I bring this up because this particular radio station is a country music radio station, and you could immediately leap to a genius in management saying, oh, no, our people couldn't handle that. And instead, the interview was pulled. The Cumulus folks say the decision was made by local programming management based solely on concerns related to the application of the FCC's equal time rule. I'm here to tell you that's a load of crap. It is a year and a half before Election Day next year. You could put on any of the presidential candidates right now. And while other candidates could ask for equal time, you can find a way to make that work. So there's more to this story than has been laid out so far. And I feel like I've maybe heard of this Blair Garner guy. Anybody know who he is?
I don't.
No, but you have to give Pete Buttigieg a little bit of credit here for reaching out to an audience that is not necessarily friendly to Democrats or to people who are gay. So good for Mayor Pete, but wow, I wish we could hear that interview somewhere.
Well, and quantitatively, I think that stereotype's fallen away big time. I mean, I know an awful lot of country music fans, and I couldn't tell you that they are majority anti-gay. There's a handful in every political bunch. It's 2019, folks. Get a calendar. Next, and in true Marvel form, the weekend box office this weekend, Comic-Con at San Diego, Disney and Marvel Studios announced this will be the weekend the Avengers Endgame would dethrone Avatar. New records have been pinned down by Variety. The state the film officially passed the $2.78 billion mark in the global box office and was just inches away from passing Avatar's $2.7897 billion. In other words, the biggest money-making movie at all time, of all time. And you know, I've still never seen Avatar.
Seriously? I haven't either.
Really?
It is the worst.
Wow. No, it's not. It's a really good movie.
Ugh.
Is it the best movie you've ever seen, though?
No, it's not the best movie I've ever seen, but it was quite spectacular when it came out. I remember watching it at the theater going, wow, this is pretty cool.
I don't understand why it made that much money. I never really did.
Just watching a bunch
of special effects were kind
of
cool, and you know, anything that's sort of fantasy and sci-fi, people love that stuff.
Hmm. Not all people.
Okay.
I agree with you. That's not my,
I think
my kind of thing.
Julio doesn't like it either, I think, but yeah, I never liked that movie. It's really
well, Nick's wrong
too.
About a lot of things, though.
I know. Yeah.
Doc Moe's coming up. We'll talk a little health, as in yours, coming up. 6:29, news next, 7:20 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Turn to Northwestern Medicine at nm.org/healthbeatnews for health tips, research, and more. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Your friend of mine, Kurt Byram, did a great job on golf coverage this weekend.
He really did. You know, and for him to be over there 3 weeks and still show the professionalism, enthusiasm is pretty good. As you and I know him, that's hard for him to stay on tune that for that long.
Yeah, I mean, his attention span is, you know, about as long as it takes to hit a golf ball.
Correct.
No, he did a great job on the Golf Channel and NBC. And how about you? I'm at a point in life where if the old guys can't win, I like the fat guys to win. How about you?
Hey, it was great to see him win. You know, just a great attitude.
In Ireland.
In Ireland.
Well, Northern Ireland, but I mean, you know, he's a countryman.
And, hey, you and I wouldn't have played yesterday.
No. And neither would J.B. Holmes.
Yeah.
J.B. Holmes again shot 87 yesterday, a Kevin Mo, Steve Cochran sort of score.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me last week, they said, I don't remember who we were talking about, but said, well, you know, what do you do when you shoot 67, 68? I said, well, I play the last four holes.
Right.
So, all right, so let's get after it here. It was hot. It's not hot anymore, but the reality of what happens to your body when this is going on is crazy. I mean, we're literally talking from the polar vortex to the last few days, 160-degree swing in how it felt, right?
Yeah, how about that? You know, less than 6 months ago, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, amazing that the body can handle temperatures of 20 below and can handle, you know, heat indexes of 115. So, you know, the body's pretty amazing as far as how it regulates its temperature. We do a lot better job regulating our temperature in our body than we do in our homes. So the body's pretty amazing when it comes to that. But now that we're done with the heat, there's a lot of other things that we should be at least aware of and concerned about as we, you know, go through the summer here.
I don't know if there's a medical answer to this before we get to that, and that is my brother in particular, you know, can't handle the heat. Why is it some people can't handle the heat and other people can't handle the cold?
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with our vascular system because that really is how we heat and cool our body, right? So when it gets really hot, our veins, they open up, they widen. And why? Because we're trying to dissipate that heat out. When it gets cold, what do? We clamp those down because we're trying to keep our heat in. So, you know, some people have vascular problems. Some people have issues with the way that the vasculature works. And you're going to see that those are the individuals that don't do well in heat or don't do well in cold.
All right, let's move on to the mosquitoes. You know, the gang mosquitoes with the bandanas that fly around with the boom boxes. You know those mosquitoes?
Yeah.
That's how you know they have West Nile virus, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
West Nile virus, how dangerous?
Well, that's probably the most interesting thing. The for you and I, we shouldn't be overly concerned about it. As a matter of fact, 80% of people who have West Nile never knew they had it. So if I did blood tests on everyone that's in the studio right now, I would bet you that at least half, if not more, of you would test positive for West Nile, and you'd say, no, I've never had it. It's because the symptoms for those people who are healthy are pretty tolerable, and actually we just kind of pass them off and they're gone before we even know that it happened.
I'm sure I have it right now after being in northern Wisconsin all week. I know I have West Nile. Like, there were more mosquitoes than I've ever seen because of the rains.
Yeah.
It's crazy this week.
But she's healthy, and she's not in the zone that we would expect people to develop the severe cases, right?
Yeah, what are the symptoms I'm going to get? I need to know.
Yeah, well, most people are going to get a little bit of a headache, some body aches, a little joint pain. Well, think about that. In the summer, yeah, we're going to get those just from doing activities and being outside. So it's not like you're going to rush to the doctor and say, you know what, I have a little discomfort. What have you been doing? Well, I've been, you know, up in the woods doing this or out on the golf course. And they say, well, yeah, that's expected. Let's see what happens over the next couple of days. And it resolves. So the concern is those seniors, though, that get it, that can go on and have much more serious disease where it gets into their brain, gets into their spinal cord, and they can really have some big problems.
So immune systems that are getting older and medically fragile folks, is that the deal?
Correct. Absolutely. Those are the ones that we're the most concerned about.
All right. So watch out for the mosquitoes, and no, there's no virus or vaccine available yet, but they're trying to figure one out. Is that the deal?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. You know, if we had a vaccine right now, would you go get it? You know, I think the young, healthy people are going to say, wait, you just told me that I probably already had it, that I really didn't have the symptoms. Why am I going to go get the vaccine? So really, that vaccine should be focused on people that are older, and also to make sure that we may get lifelong immunity from having that first infection. We don't know enough about it yet. It hasn't gone through enough generations for us to see, do we continue with our immunity as we do with other viral illnesses?
All right, let's move to Lyme disease. This, of course, is a condition where drunkies use too many limes when they drink their drinks, right? Is that it?
That's one of those. There's two, at least. So
You're talking about the other one.
Yeah, and you know, Mary, this one's probably one that you should be concerned about in northern Wisconsin.
I just got totally
infected. I've never known you to be a hypochondriac. Listen to you.
I've got Lyme disease. I've got West Nile.
All right, so Lyme disease comes from ticks, right?
Yeah, Lyme disease is caused by a bacteria, and you get it from a tick bite. So the difference between West Nile and Lyme, there's a few differences. The symptoms that actually are somewhat the same to begin with, but we can treat Lyme disease, and we need to treat Lyme disease because it's a bacteria, and we can put you on antibiotics, which will stop you from getting some of the bad things that can happen with chronic Lyme disease.
The bad things being?
Well, most individuals, when you get it, you're going to have almost the exact same things that I just said with West Nile. Muscle pain, joint pain, fatigue, headache, fever. Boy, you just said that was West Nile as well. So the symptoms are the same. But for people that go untreated or undertreated, they get something called persistent Lyme disease or chronic Lyme disease. And it's about 20% of people are going to get this. And they then have fatigue, joint pain, muscle aches, low-grade fever. This can last for up to a year, sometimes even longer.
So you can have it chronically for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because like I said, this is a bacteria that's going to live in your body until we get you on antibiotics to knock it out there.
We making any headway?
Oh, yeah, we're making great headway. Those people that identify it early are treated. They get resolution of symptoms very quickly. And this is one where you say, well, how do I know which I have? This, fortunately, there's a rash, a very unique rash that comes with Lyme disease called the bullseye rash. And if you think of what a bullseye looks like, that's the rash you see on your body. So if you see anything like that, definitely get into the doctor, take a picture of it, get it into the doctor, because he'll look at that, may do some blood tests, but start you on antibiotics immediately to eliminate those symptoms.
Take a break here for
rash
a break.
Check.
And I'm going to check Mary for ticks.
rashes.
And rashes. And then we'll come back, and one of the bands coming to Lollapalooza, acute flaccid myelitis, happens to also be a medical condition that's sort of seasonal. So we'll get to that in just a second as well. More with Dr. Kevin Wells from Northwestern Medicine. Back to the great Dr. Kevin Most, busiest man in the medical business. And thank you for all the work you do. And I ran across somebody this weekend, Doc, who said, you know what I love about Kevin Most? I said, yeah, I'd like to find something.
Yeah.
I said, no, what do you love about Kevin Most? He said, he talks about medicine in a way that I can understand it. There's nobody better than you, my friend. Nobody.
Oh, thank you. I try to keep it simple, but if I go over my ski tips, my mom will tell me, hey, I didn't understand what you said, so tone it down. So,
well, and the other thing, too, and you've never said this publicly, but you've told me in private, if I think you can understand it, then everybody can understand it. That was when you were talking to me.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, but yeah, that's no. True as well. Yeah.
All right, generally, if the words acute and flaccid are in a sentence, it's not good for you. Acute, flaccid, myelitis. What is it?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, and it's a kind of a scary one. This is a disease, an infection. We assume that it's an infection that causes profound sudden muscle weakness, loss of muscle tone, and loss of reflexes in a very, very quick fashion. So you can imagine, and 90% of cases are under the age of 18, with the average age being 4 years old. So you can imagine you have a healthy, young, little 4-year-old running around, and within hours, all of a sudden now, he can't get up, he can't walk, he's lost his reflexes, and he has no muscle tone.
And this is specifically children?
Not specifically, but 90% under the age of 18, and really, we're really looking at more younger children here.
Well, it's not condition.
It's a cruel condition. It's an absolutely cruel condition, and it's very frustrating for the medical field for a couple reasons. One, we don't know what causes it. We have not figured out yet what causes it. It's interesting, it's been linked back to West Nile virus, adenovirus, enterovirus, but we haven't identified the exact virus that's causing this. So if you think about it, viruses mutate. That's why we get a different flu shot every year. So there, scientists are looking at this now. Why is this only hitting young children? Is it because it's caused by a virus that adults have already seen and have some protection against, and children have not? And if so, what is that virus so we can act on it? And this is one where a vaccine may be important.
The mutation of the virus, does that explain the pattern of the disease where it's up 1 year, down the next?
Yeah, that's probably the most interesting thing. If anybody ever looks at this, what happened when we first noticed this in 2014, we had 120 cases in 34 states. The next year, it dropped to 22. In 2016, it jumped up to 149. 2017, dropped down to 35. 2018, up to 233. So you can start to see this trend that every other year, we start to see a bump, but also on the off years, we're seeing an increase. So we had 9 cases in Illinois last year. We've already had 9 cases in Illinois this year. This would be an off year, but you're going to see that those numbers are going to start to creep back up. So very important that we find out what's causing this and figure out how to treat it.
And those sound like small numbers in the course of the diseases, but they're not small if it's your kid.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, 9 cases in Illinois. One of the cases was here at Central DuPage last year, and I can tell you it got the attention of the entire pediatric staff and the entire medical staff.
All right, let me get one more in if I can. You know, when you and I were kids, what were we told? Be careful for poison ivy.
Yep.
Why haven't we figured out an app where we could eliminate poison ivy? What's going on here, Doc?
Yeah. You know, poison ivy is kind of interesting, right? You know, it's like, wait, there's a whole bunch of green in there. Why is this one plant going to be so angry at me to cause so much discomfort in me? But we know that the oil in poison ivy is extremely sensitive to our skin and causes a very quick dermatitis. In other words, our skin gets very inflamed from the oil on the leaves. So people always say, well, what's the best thing? What can I do? And really, one of the best things you can do is avoid it as much as possible. Know what it looks like and stay away from it if possible. But if you're like Mary and you're up running in the woods, you're going to run into it without even knowing. So then it's important of what you can do as soon as you've been exposed.
All great stuff from Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Northwestern Medicine at nm.org/healthbeatnews for health tips, research, and more. And, of course, the folks at Mary and Joy, who you oversee as well, do great work every day, right?
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. And it's a great time to be in medicine. So I'd also say read the notes, because there's some good things about what to do for poison ivy if you've been exposed.
Right. And as always, Doc writes about a book. You write Stephen King-level notes in regards to how long they are, because he gives you all the information And it's all available. We put the podcast up. We post the notes as well. 1 week, Doc actually put his diary in there, but that was an accident.
That was by mistake, correct.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
Dr. Kevin Mose, 7 o'clock, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It is 712, and Bob Mueller is going to speak in testimony to the House on Wednesday. Pat Brady will discuss that with me at some point tomorrow. I would think he's going to be on Channel 9 on Wednesday as well, talking about it. Here's a conclusion that I think we all need to come to. First off, the network, CNN and MSNBC in particular, focusing so much on 2020 and beating these candidates into the ground, is not helping. And every 4 years when we come to, forget about the Trump era, every 4 years when we get to Election Day and we go, really? 350 million people in this country, and these are the two we have? It's part and parcel to overexposure. The fact that we see them droning on and on and on about whatever their points are, whatever their platforms are, whatever they're about. The reason the Mueller thing is still big, and I don't believe that any particular history will be made by this. I don't know that he's going to say anything, but certainly ask the right questions. He would have to respond in a way that could shed new light on what he wrote in the 448-page report that as little as 15 members of Congress have read of the 545, 15 members. I mean, that's just outrageous in its own right. But the number one concern you should have is, who are the criminals in government? Who are the people in government that are corrupt? Think about Chicago politics through the years. Think about Illinois politics through the years. Don't you think we'd be a little bit better off if we didn't have criminals in charge in various places? Some still in charge? So determining whether or not this president has committed a crime or crimes and remains in office simply because of a Department of Justice policy that hasn't been challenged, not a law, a policy, it's an important process to go through. So the Mueller thing is very important and deserves attention. The Democrats' handling of this has been ridiculous. The Republicans have been absolutely complicit. You have to pay attention to it. Having said that, I'm tired of talking about it, the big picture stuff here. And I'm sure you're tired of hearing about it as well. But see, when the grown-ups are in charge of the country, and we're allegedly the grown-ups, you still have to know things. Steve, in particular, the news business is in a very difficult position because the news business has to report what? The news. And the news that's made in the era of Trump can be largely negative. But you still have to report the news. So the idea that you can just turn it off or dial away from it or you know, go, well, I'm just going to go look at something more pleasant. Okay, well, it doesn't change the fact that our government is run as a sham. So be a grown-up. Be a grown-up. Partake. You know, be a part of this. Be a part of the process. Because here's the thing. Next November, what's going to determine who the president of the United States is and who the members of Congress are is turnout. Will you take the time on that particular day to show up and vote? That's it.
Yeah, and it's also going to be the middle-of-the-road voters who either swung one way or the other in the last election. I think that's what I'm most interested to see, whether the independents and the Republicans who were never Trumpers, where they go in this coming election. I guess that will all depend on who the candidate, the Democratic candidate is, right?
No question. Now, the influence of Trump is massive. Not just because he's president of the United States, because he's good at making himself the center of attention, mostly in a negative way, but to the people who support him most, you know, it's a positive thing. This outrageousness with the four congresswomen is a perfect example of that, keeping that in the news. And the Democrats allowing their party to be labeled the way it has and branded the way it has. It's no different than Jeb Bush becoming, what did he call Jeb Bush 4 years ago? Was he Lazy Jeff? Low energy Jeb Bush. Well, it's even a stupid nickname, but it stuck. So Trump being good at branding, the Democrats being bad at fighting branding, doesn't bode well going forward. But again, there's a simple solution here. If you are a part of the 60 to 65% by Election Day of next year, assuming we make it, who are not Trumpers, then get off your ass and vote. Go vote, because the rest of the story is not just the influence and the noise that comes out of the White House. It's the people in Congress who are as inept as I've ever seen in my lifetime I've never seen a bigger bunch of hacks in both parties than are in Congress right now. People that will run through traffic, risk being hit by a bus if they see a light across the street and they think it's a television camera. It's not just Donald Trump that's only interested in himself. The majority of the 545 are doing the exact same thing in both parties. And Congress affects your life more every single day than the president ever will. The president will annoy you more, make your blood pressure go up. But it's the people you elect to represent you in the Senate and in the House that affect your life every single day. You know, our third co-equal branch of government, the Supreme Court, can only do so much because they're a reactionary branch. They react to things that are brought to them that they decide to take on. The House and the president are not reactionary. They stir it up. They create it. So you deserve, this country deserves, your kids, your grandkids deserve better representation. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or you're Republican. Just do your freaking job.
From a journalism standpoint, I would urge people, too, to break out of your bubble. If you only watch Fox News, maybe turn to someplace else and get a little bit more news from other sources. And the same is true if you watch, let's say, MSNBC. Tune into Fox every once in a while. Try to listen to as many sources as you possibly can. Don't just take one outlet's word for what's happening as the gospel. I think that's going to be one of the biggest. I think when the history is written about this time, that's going to be one of the biggest things. Everybody's in their bubbles, and they're not finding the real facts.
Yeah, because you find something you agree with, and you stop looking.
Right.
That was the beauty of the three-channel universe and the newspapers. And give me some more country time lemonade, Grandpa. I'm on the porch. But when you had to read a newspaper that was printed and printed in a way that a vast number of stories would be covered, you would see things that you wouldn't necessarily know about. Now you can literally Google up anything that interests you. Not what doesn't interest you, what interests you. And because of that, you have, as Steve talked about, this bubble, this tunnel that we all tend to live in. Got to break out of it. All of this is fixable. It's not as easy to just go, oh, the country will survive. But yeah, maybe, possibly. But why allow this kind of damage to continue to occur because of hacks in Congress and a dangerous guy in the White House? So be involved in the process. Take a look at the calendar right now. You know what we should do, Super Joe? We should start a countdown of how many days it is to Election Day, just to remind people. I know it's a year and a half away, but let's remind people. Put it on your calendar now. There's no excuse if you're a grown-up not to vote. None. And you got plenty of time to arrange a ride if you need it. Plenty of time to make sure you're registered. Take part in the process. Don't let the process rule you. Rule the process. Get involved. All right, 720. Most valuable person on the planet coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
T. Shane Johnson served his country, United States Marine Corps, and is serving the people of this country again and trying to raise a whole bunch of money for Gary Sinise's RISE program, the RISE program, which is building smart homes for severely injured heroes. They're trying to raise $1 million. T. Shane has been homeless. He nearly died three times. He's overcome an awful lot in his life. And now he's going to slap a 100-pound pack on his back and hike. How far? Well, let's go to T. Shane for the details. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Thank you for your service. I am fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm living the dream every day.
Well, of course, right? Because you've seen the bottom, and why not be on top?
Yes, sir. That's right. Well, I didn't really disclose whether it's a nightmare or not, but we'll just keep it as the fact that it's a dream.
Look, there is no nightmare when you're doing what you're doing, because you're doing the right thing with your life and trying to help people, and you're doing that every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes you the most valuable person on the planet. Like, you need that kind of pressure.
No, not at all. It's not like that. When people say thank you for your service, I say, you know, just be the American that we're worth. It's worth serving, you know. Just go out there and love your family, live your dream, work hard every day, and do the right thing. And that's what makes it worth everything that we sacrifice.
I know you speak around the country and do motivational speaking to corporate groups and all that. And we'll throw your website out if people want to track you down as well. But there's an interesting piece of your strategy, which I want you to talk about for a second, and that's be done by 2:30. What do you mean about that?
Yeah, so that's so everything that you're talking about is on 1-2 of our websites. So hikeacrossamerica.com. We'll talk a lot about our hike venture and our leadership tour this year. And then tshaneinspires.com specifically talks more about Done by 230 and all the things that we offer. So Done by 230 was a concept that I put together many, many years ago. And then when I got into the book writing side of it, I published my third book, which will be released in January, Done by 230 with my daughter. And the concept was accomplishing everything that you need to accomplish so that you can become CEO of your true business, which is your at-home family. And 230 became a concept because what ended up happening is I noticed that I always wanted to be there for my daughter each day when she got out of school. And that happened at 2:30. So I thought to myself, you know, if I could teach my people and lead my organization in a direction where we can accomplish everything as quickly as possible before that 2:30 mark, that we might be able to actually spend more time with our family, have more balance with life, and do a lot better things. And it really came more to fruition on my second year of running across the country, speaking with a lot of homeless, speaking with a lot of people that were going through tough times. And it always led back to the beginning stages of family where either their father was missing or their mother wasn't around and they weren't time because they were, you know, just middle-class families working so many hours just trying to keep their head above water. So I felt that it was important to share, you know, my experience, my knowledge, and how I'm able to spend so much time with my daughter and take that time off. So that's what the concept of that book really nails down.
Yeah, and it's really all about priorities and how you live your life. It's a concept you can learn, and we can all spend more time with our families if we choose to do that. We all know how much time during a day we goof off at work or aren't focused. You get focused, you get to do more with your life. So anyway, more on that later. In the meantime, how far are you going to hike?
So this year will be 1,100 miles total. We'll cover 12 to 22 miles a day carrying a 100-pound pack. And I attempt to at least break two world records. So during Old Dominion University's game on October 5th, I'll be the halftime show where I run in to break the record of the fastest 1 mile carrying a 100-pound pack in less than 15 minutes. And then we'll keep trekking through the East Coast all the way down until we get to the end, where on the Space Coast, I will also attempt to break the world record for the fastest marathon carrying a 100-pound pack in less than 6.5 hours. So in total, it would be about 1,100 miles on my feet. We're supposed to speak to about over 180,000 people across the country, and this will be really focused on leadership and the positive side of the veteran community and, you know, we as fathers and parents and all of that great stuff. But, yep, that's the overall mileage.
The 100-pound pack you carry, is it in backpack form, or how do you carry it?
It is. So it'll be two parts. So one's a 100-pound vest, and then I put it in the pack as well. So I kind of change it up a little bit so it's not too much on me. But the idea, I get a lot of questions about the 100-pound pack. What's the significance of the weight? And I explain it. It's the burden of leadership. And I think nowadays we've got a really big problem with lack of leadership within the military community, within our personal lives, within everything. We all, you know, we're all leaders in some capacity or another. So the idea is that as a leader, we don't get to run away from it. I think in general now, people feel that leadership is something that you can put down or walk away from, and that it's easy to give up. But some of us just don't. We don't have that. It's our responsibility to continue our duty, no matter whether we served or didn't serve, or if we're parents or any kind of capacity in work or whatever. We're out there continuing to lead, and we have to kind of endure the pain and know that that's the best part, because if we, you know, we sacrifice our free will, others can have theirs. And leadership needs to be brought back to a little stronger point. So it's the concept of, hey, if I can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can throw 100 pounds on my back, you know, I can go out, I can impact lives, businesses, continue to run my businesses, continue to make time for my daughter. You can take that 1% and lead in anything that you do in life.
See the stops on Hike Across America and more at what website?
HikeAcrossAmerica.com.
HikeAcrossAmerica.com. And again, the benefits go to the Gary Sinise Rise Program, building smart homes for severely injured heroes. And for all things related to T-Shane, where do we go for that?
T-ShaneInspires.com. And anything on social media, the handle is at T-Shane Johnson.
Keep up the great work, man.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
My fine United States Marine. T-Shane Johnson, carrying 100 pounds for a few thousand miles.
100 pounds.
How do you run a mile in 15 minutes with 100 pounds on?
I have no idea. I mean,
how about a marathon in 6 hours with 100 pounds on?
Have you ever worn a weighted vest? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm talking about 20, 25 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know how you do.
How about 5-pound ankle weights? You ever try that?
Yeah.
Put ankle weights or shoe weights on. We just go for a walk.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you.
And he's running. That's good stuff. T. Shane, most valuable person on the planet. 7:31, your headlines are next. And then Jimmy Buffett and Mac McAnally from Friday. We'll play back a chunk of that for you, too, coming up in a few minutes on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
If anybody went to the Mac McAnally show last night, I'd like to hear how it was. 312-981-7200 is the number. So Mac's a friend of the program, been in the Jimmy Buffett Coral Reefer Band for, I don't know, 100 years or so. He's one of the most prolific songwriters in Nashville, a 10-time CMA Entertainer of the Year award winner. And, I mean, just a flat-out great guy. And by the way, a great head of hair. Wouldn't you agree that Mac McAnally's got a great head of hair?
Absolutely.
That's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
I feel like he was a bit of a hair hog.
You think he was kind of showing off?
He's taking all the hair.
Yeah.
What about me?
Some sweet flow.
That's right. Which, by the way, is a good title for a song. So Mac was coming in on Friday, and I was told he was bringing in a special guest. Well, he did. But you couldn't reveal that right away.
Well, I brought a road manager because I'm such a diva that I have to have people things.
He's got to bring people.
Listen,
with him.
In my early Chicago days, I was the road manager.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did everything. Yeah.
Ladies
and
gentlemen,
security.
Mac McAnally and Jimmy Buffett. How about a cheap round of applause? You guys get a very rare sitting ovation.
I'll take any ovation you give me.
All ovations are good.
For our friends at the Chicago Blackhawks, you did a video in your house in a helmet and a Blackhawks sweater. It's one of the funniest things I saw all year last year, which was tremendous.
Well, you know, Hakey
Larson. And I don't know if you know how big it was here. It was huge.
I know. No, I was following because Hakey Larson, who was one of our production managers, he put the whole thing together with Jay Blanc, and they asked me to do it. And so the thing was, he brought all that hockey gear into the room, and I think it was in Orlando, and speaking of heat, it was probably about 90 that day, and that, it just is, you know. And
seeing you be a hockey nut was really entertaining.
Was it?
Okay. Oh, it's tremendous.
Now, I was early Nashville days. There was, before there were the Predators, there was a minor league hockey team in Nashville.
Okay.
And I used to just go, I don't know why I got into it, but I figured out later because my grandfather was from Newfoundland. I have a lot of Canadian or maritime blood in Goofy Newfie, as they are called up there. That must have been it.
Which is, by the way, why tomorrow night, and Jimmy's never done this with Mac, but they're going to open with the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is going to be nice. I haven't heard your take on
that. I can do
that
song.
Listen,
little Michigan speed. Not this early in the morning. Okay.
All right, back.
Not yet.
Jimmy, great to see you again. It's been years since you've been on the show because you stopped returning my calls.
Did not.
Absolutely.
You moved buildings.
I get fired a lot.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? I get fired a lot. Mac McAnally, Mac, from the beginning, was it 77?
77 was the first record, yeah.
And down the road with Kenny Chesney and Old Flame with Alabama and over and over again. And how about 10 Musicians of the Year awards?
Yeah.
I can't understand it, but I'm grateful.
Well, God bless you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. What are you going to sing for me? All right, for everybody.
Well, I'm going to do a little psychological experiment at the risk of my own job here. I'm going to see if it's kind of like fishing. I'm going to put one of Jimmy's songs on the hook and see if he wants to jump in and sing a little bit, even though he's not supposed to sing.
He's supposed to be here reviewing the song.
He's just my road manager today. Sing 3 hours
let's
tomorrow
be honest
night.
Here. Put a microphone in front of you or me.
Right?
We'll see. But this, I learned this song in my front porch a long time ago with a lot of high regard for this guy, which is only built. I've got more regard for him now than I had then, and I've known him quite a few years at this point. I love this song. It's my favorite Jimmy song. To sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the men in Rojo switch from sail to steam. And in your belly you hold the treasure that few have ever seen. Most of them dreams. Most of them dreams. What do you think?
Yeah. Yes, I am a pirate. 200 years too late. Cannons don't thunder. It's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate. Arriving too late. Arriving too late.
I've done a bit of smuggling. I've run my share of grass. Made enough money to buy Miami, but I pissed it away so fast. Never meant to last. Good harmony there.
Yeah, I went up.
Never meant to last.
You want it?
Yep.
All right.
I have been drunk now for over 2 weeks. I passed out at a rally and I sprung a few leaks. But I gotta stop wishing. Gotta go fishing and down to rock bottom again. Just a few friends. Just a few friends.
Got a studio full today.
The musician of the year now. My leg. He stole it.
I go for younger women, live with several a while. Though I ran away, they come back one day and they still can manage a smoke. Just takes a while. Just takes a while. Mother, Mother Ocean, after all my years I've found occupational hazard being. My occupation's just not around. Feel like I've done. Gonna head uptown. Feel like I've done. Gonna head uptown.
About an ending now. Mr. Jimmy Buffett, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you write a song.
Oh.
Hope you noticed I stood up that time.
I know. What happened there?
Let me tell you something. That's goosebumps. I mean, that's just goosebumps.
What a song.
Well, let me just say, you know, you asked who my favorite singers are. I bet my favorite solo performer is him.
Oh, that's tremendous. I mean, I can't thank you enough for doing this.
Steve, great.
You guys are unbelievable, Steve. I mean, just see how much you love each other, how much fun you're having is great. By the way, texters all over the country chiming in. Simply incredible. Jerry in Kansas. Oh, my God. Song's making me cry. Thanks for a beautiful morning. That's from Massachusetts. Just fantastic. I think just based on this audience, you two got...
Which song made him cry?
I'm going to make it.
Max
Mother Ocean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't get goosebumps from much anymore, unless it's a side effect from the meds I'm taking. But I'm telling you guys, really, fantastic.
Well, you know, you make it happen. Thanks.
Thanks for letting us in the door.
Well, bless you both, man. Thanks for being here and saying you guys, please come in anytime you can.
Okay, but somebody said that'd be breakfast.
Yeah, what?
No, that
yeah, there are. There's lots of places.
That was in the Rider. Come on.
All over
next
Chicago.
Time. All right.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Mac McAnally and his pal Jimmy Buffett. You know, what's great about that, Dave, is after all these years, and you and I are blessed, man, we've been able to meet so many interesting people and, and sit down and talk with people and have access to folks you just don't get access to. And to see Jimmy Buffett again after many years, I mean, shoot, it's been 10 years or longer since he was on the show. I literally, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times he'd been on the show in the past, never sang. He sang at 9:30 in the morning. And then our friend Jay Blunk from the Blackhawks, very good friends with Jimmy and the band, he was at the concert Saturday night. So, of course, they killed it. 35,000. And you remember Saturday night was still a bit warm.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I mean...
They were at Alpine Valley.
I had never met him, but couldn't have been a nicer guy, more down to earth, not the big...
Tom Hanks with a guitar, like the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
never met him either, but I hear.
And Mac is unbelievable.
Yeah, a great guy, and what a talent.
So, Super Joe, if you want to hear, say, Rizzi from The Godfather, who is also on Friday's show, if you want to hear Jim Lovell, if you want to hear any of the Steve Cochran podcasts, including this one posted to podcast, where do you go?
You go to WGNRadio.com/Cochran.
Somebody just texted me an Illinois license plate, fins up.
I saw that.
And a lot of great texts coming in from everywhere. If you just tuned in the middle of that, that's Jimmy Buffett. Live in studio on Friday as part of Mac McAnally's drop by.
And he played another live song. We played another a song of Mac's that hasn't been released yet. So
and it's
was
all
really
in
a great
it.
Time. Yep.
It's all in that podcast.
So, all because you missed a plane.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
I mean, there were so many things Thursday that kept getting in the way. Three planes canceled, my luggage being a mess, come down to a realization that didn't even make sense to drive. Well, there's got to be a reason for this. You know what the reason is? Buffett's coming in Friday morning.
Yeah.
So, special guest Maureen Cochran, by the way, will be on the More on Entertainment segment coming up here in a few minutes. Super Joe's White Sox trivia question for free Sox tickets coming up. Stand by for all of that. 7:53 on 720 WGN.
It's time for Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
Once again, understated, subtle. And White Sox tickets to be given away. White Sox and the
Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
Family pack of four tickets to the White Sox and the Twins this coming Sunday, July 28th at 1:10. Tune in every Monday at this time for a chance to win tickets to a White Sox game. Schedule and ticket information at whitesox.com or 866-SOX-GAME. And tonight, again, Dave, the White Sox leading the way on this. Be the first game with netting from foul pole to foul pole.
Yep, and be interesting. They actually, I think, had it in place for the double duty classic the other day, where they had the some of the great high school players playing in.
This is that White Sox debut.
Field. Yeah, but this will be the first major league game.
Okay. Super Joe, we're ready for your question.
All righty. So we got Harold Baines, who was inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame yesterday.
Yep.
He spent 22 seasons in the big leagues. Although most of that took place on the South Side, Baines played for four other teams besides the White Sox. Name two of them.
Wow. Now, Dave, I'm sure you could do this.
I could.
I'm going to go with the Seattle Pilots. Is that one of them?
The Pilots are not one of them.
That was a good guess.
Not one of them. How about the Milwaukee Braves?
The Milwaukee Braves are not one of the four.
312-981-7200 for those free Sox tickets. Name two of the other four teams Harold Baines played for in his career. And isn't it true, his Hall of Fame speech, he just went on and on and on. Harold, make it. Somebody else talk.
He said, I don't know why people kind of thought I was quiet as a player.
He just focused and got it done.
Yep. Yes, he did.
Some great texters today. As always, you can text anytime at 312-981-7200. That's your text line. That's your phone line as well. And here's a couple. 847, due to an hour-long crazy windy rainstorm during the tailgating festivities, it was actually a very comfortable, pleasant concert Saturday night when Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reef Band played. Yeah, at Alpine Valley. And then from the earlier, what would you call a sermon that I gave on participating in voting?
Yes.
Somebody wrote this. Here's an election idea for 2020. We're 470 days away from Election Day. You got plenty of time to plan. We had a vetting party for Chicago's mayoral election. Everybody assigned a candidate to research and then shared with the group. So it was actually fun and very helpful. Plan to do the same this time around for Dems. Catherine Baker. It's that simple. You can make it a community project.
Makes sense.
Friends, family, whatever. All right. First correct answer to Joe's White Sox trivia question wins the tickets. 312-981-7200 is the number. You want to come back and get that winner in just a second? Let's go to line one. I think we may already have a winner. Hey, is this Dane?
Yes. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Dane, you want to go to the Twins game?
Sounds great.
You got three friends?
I think so.
All right, see if you can find
free tickets, yeah.
Right, see if we can find some. The question, Joe, again is?
Name two of the four teams that Harold Baines played for besides the White Sox.
Well, he played also with Texas and Baltimore.
Ding, ding,
and
ding! Who else? Go ahead, keep going.
Cleveland and the White Sox.
Is that all four, Joe?
He did not say the A's. He also played a few seasons with the Athletics.
And you know why he kept getting dealt? Too mouthy. Always shooting his mouth up. Congratulations, Dane. You have those tickets. Again, White Sox and the Twins, 866-SOX-GAME, whitesox.com. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, hang on. We'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Here's Dan Richards. Good morning,
my fellow moron. Welcome to Moron Entertainment.
A beautiful night at Ravinia last night for the big Ghostbusters night, and lots of people in the crowd in this very prestigious Highland Park venue yelling out moron.
So, you know, that's the kind of respect that we deserve,
yep.
And that's the kind of respect we're getting.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We love it. Nice, a huge crowd. It was a beautiful night.
Hey, moron!
Cool. Chicago Symphony Orchestra about to play, and people are screaming out, moron.
Just seems to go with it.
Love you, morons! And now the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Now, does this conclude your Ravinia obligations
this
for the summer?
This concludes my Ravinia appearances this year, as far as I know.
Right.
I may go as a civilian.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you?
To enjoy some shows, but as far as I know, I have no other appearances there.
You got a piece of lawn that's yours? Like, you know, you just go, I called it.
This is my spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I call it Moronia.
Wow. The land of Moronia. Don't think I'm not writing that down.
Yeah.
Coming up, a huge weekend for a particular movie. Of course, Donald Trump's love for ASAP Rocky is in the news.
Loves of the rappers.
Eddie Murphy's in the news, and so are the people from Marvel. You know Marvel, the movie people?
The cake?
We have a special guest this morning on Maureen.
That's what I'm told, that we have a special guest. Who could it possibly be?
It'd be Maureen Cochran.
Well, that would be your wife, Steve.
That's exactly right. Live from upstate New York. Good morning.
Good morning. How did I end up on Moron Entertainment?
We didn't have any place else to put you on the show.
Don't okay. act like you're All not right. honored.
I am truly honored.
Are you still at the reunion?
It's going on forever and ever. Yep. Yeah. Four or five days in now.
The
yeah.
one that you didn't go to?
This is the one I did not go to because my flights were canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was going to drive, my bags were not available. By the way, Dean, have you gone through this? I had two bags delivered this weekend. This seems pretty inefficient to me. Two bags delivered this weekend, one Friday night at 11:30, the other one Sunday around noon.
And they were allegedly together. You delivered them at they were delivered the same time.
Well, yeah, I did everything. Drive, drop one off, drive around for a few hours, drop the other one off.
I don't know what you do.
One of the bags, by the way, made a trip to Buffalo and Rochester before it came back.
More well-traveled than you are.
Exactly right. So was the reunion fun?
Yeah, we had a very nice time. It was pretty darn fun.
Doesn't sound
for sure.
Fun. Yep. Does not sound fun. You're not selling it well. Doesn't sound fun to me.
Well, it was going to be fun if you were going to come, but then it all turned into, where's Steve? Everyone went up to, where's Steve?
I doubt
where's
that.
Steve?
I doubt
How come
that.
Steve's not here? What happened to Steve?
I doubt I was even brought
How's
up.
How's Steve doing?
It was a guy named Steve Clayton, not you.
Right.
Some other guy
exactly
named
right.
Steve.
So, Dean, there's this guy from our class named Jeff Danz. And Jeff was a bit of a wild man back in the day. Now, this is 40 years later, and you're telling me he hasn't changed a bit?
Well, his sense of humor and his wittiness hasn't changed a bit. His appearance has changed, you know, slightly, let's say.
By the way, Dean, when she said sense of humor and wittiness, meaning he still does butt and hoo-hoo jokes.
And hoo-hoo? Hoo-hoo?
I don't know what that means either, Dean.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Of course you do. Yeah. Of course you do. So what was the best part about the reunion?
Well, you know, I have my two girlfriends, Rita and Diane, who I've stayed friends with since way before high school. So just being able to spend some time with them, that of course is the best. So
are they with?
No, it's fun.
Are they with you right now?
Yeah, my friend Diane had arranged for us to come up to the Adirondacks after the reunion, and we're staying in this gorgeous cabin with the it's just beautiful up here.
I'm slaving away on the coal mine that is Moron Entertainment. You're running around the Adirondacks at resorts.
Nice.
Unbelievable. What an outrage. Dean, do you have any deep probing questions about the reunion?
Have you always been a fan of reunions? Because I have very mixed feelings about going to reunions. Not having having nothing to do with luggage. I went to one and I just really did not have a good time.
Oh, well, you know, they say now with Facebook and everything, no one really has to go back to the reunion. So I've always gone, like I went to my 10, right. 15, just because I have these friends that I'm still close with and that, you know, we come for that. Yeah. But Steve has not, let's see, since he didn't make it to the 40th, I think this makes...
this would be 30 in a row that I've missed. I went to the 10th. I was there at the 10th.
Oh, you were? Oh, yeah. You were. You're right. Yep.
Well, you don't have one every year.
No, I will certainly hope not. By the way, the numbers have dwindled, Dean and Dave. We had 100 and, what did we decide, 150 people in our graduating class?
Yeah.
And 35 showed up.
Is that because other people came up with flimsy excuses like you did?
No, the others are... No, the others are all dead.
Yeah, I want to know what the number of deaths there have been, because that's a big deal sometimes.
Did you guys talk about that, like who died in the class?
We had a couple of, occasions to bring up the dead, but, you know, and then we all, if someone started talking about, you know, aches and pains and that kind of stuff, they got shot down pretty quickly, so, yeah.
I'm going to do an in memoriam. Video.
Yes. They
run. Sarah McLachlan. Yeah.
Who looked better, the girls or the guys at this point?
I'd say the girls, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Well, Steve Cochran wasn't there, so the guys, none of the other guys measured up. So.
Like a notch down, no question. So there was a group picture of about 25 of the people that were there. I was able to name 13 of them. I thought that was pretty good after 40 years.
You know what? I'm proud of you for that.
13.
That's pretty good for you, Steve. Yeah.
Of course, I was telling our daughter that, and who knew if she was, she didn't know if I was right. I could have been making stuff up.
Did you Photoshop yourself into the picture?
Oh, that's a good idea.
No, but as they took the picture, we all, instead of saying cheese, we all said, Steve Cochran.
Oh,
so then,
that's nice.
Then they snapped
the photo. You were very popular in high school, Steve.
I gave away a lot of money.
Yeah.
No, I had no. What am I talking about? I had no money. I borrowed a lot of money.
I don't think anybody that I, from my class, maybe two or three people, even had any idea that I'm alive.
Were you sensitive and shy?
I was so. I was painfully shy in high school.
I find that hard to believe.
Painfully.
When did you come out of your shell?
When they started paying me to.
Was this sometime during your disc jockey days?
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, I was just very high school. My high school years were not pleasant.
I had a great run in high school.
Yeah.
Home wasn't so great, but high school was great.
That's why I don't like the reunion. They're not pleasant years for me.
So you go to your reunions and go, you guys agree it all sucked, right?
Don't you go to
your reunion to show off? Like I've made this. I'm on Moron Entertainment. I mean,
well, now.
But you went to high school in Chicago, right?
Chicago, yeah. So, CVS, yeah. Chicago Vocational High School.
We didn't think it was the drugstore.
Well, these days it very well could be the drugstore.
Actually, you should go back now, being the big deal that you are. But the problem with that is everybody would want to go movie talk.
Yeah.
They want to talk about people, you know, celebrities.
I've been back to the high school for I was principal for a day,
uh-huh.
And I went back for that. Roger Badish used to be a teacher at this high school many years ago before he was at WGN Radio. And he invited me back. He used to do a broadcasting class, and I came back and spoke to the broadcasting class. But, I may as well have been wallpaper in high school. Quiet, kept to myself.
Anybody on the show believe that? I mean, I believe it, but it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Dean was quiet?
Well, just that he sounds like he had a miserable time. Let's all let Dean sit on our lap while we pat his back. Come here, little moron.
Somebody burp me.
Somebody just texted Maureen Cochran that Facebook eliminates the need for reunions, but it does make me more interested in seeing people I've reconnected with. So that's another take on all of it. Would you go back? That's the 40th. Would you go back, and will you tell me to go back?
Steve, we're going back. We're going back. 45th, 50th, 55th. Yeah, we're doing it. I mean,
let me just tell you something.
Diane and Rita and I are doing it, and if you're welcome to come along. So
I cannot count on severe thunderstorms every time I'm supposed to fly to a reunion.
Yeah, that might not fly the next time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Hey, thanks for being on. What is Super Joe? What is Maureen won for being on the show today?
A whole lot of nothing.
Well, all right. That's kind of the stuff we deliver.
I want that app gift card. I keep telling you people.
Yeah, we'll work that out. Thanks for coming on. I know you got to do a bunch of other shows now, so say hi to those people. Yep.
All right. See ya. Thanks.
All right,
thanks.
Going on other morning shows?
Yes. Oh, he's going on about the show. Thanks for coming on. We love you. Bye.
So is this now Maureen Entertainment as opposed to Moron Entertainment?
Look at that. We should have changed it today.
I think you should have.
We should have. Dave's too smart for this show. We come back. Neil will talk about all that stuff, including Marvel ice cream cake.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
I just got a text from somebody, Dean. Apparently Maureen's on the Felicia Middlebrooks podcast.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Sponsored by Ravinio, we continue with Moron Entertainment. All right, so are we going to have more superhero movies? Because they make $1 billion.
Oh, we are going to have lots and lots of superhero movies. You know, Comic-Con took place over the weekend in San Diego, where everything sci-fi, supernatural, fantasy takes place. And one of the highlights was Marvel announcing Phase 4 for them, their movie and TV slate, through the year 2022, which doesn't that sound futuristic?
Yeah, it really does.
Say that,
right?
Scarlett Johansson will have her own movie as Black Widow. There will be Angelina Jolie in The Eternals. That'll be out in November of the year 2020. Richard Madden and Kumail Nanjiani will star in that. This actress from this fantastic movie that opened this past week on The Farewell, Awkwafina. Love her water also, is going to be starring in Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings.
Is she the one from Crazy Rich Asians?
She is.
She's very funny.
Practically stole the movie. Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be back as Doctor Strange in Multiverse of Madness in 2021. And now Disney is starting up their own streaming service to compete with Netflix. They will have characters from The Falcon and Winter Soldier, from Loki, and also Mahershala Ali, who is an Oscar winner, will star as Blade in the movie. There's also going to be a fourth Thor movie, which will feel like, which will feature Natalie Portman as Lady Thor. Going to be
hold on a second. Lady Thor is this muscled up dude. Natalie Portman weighs 48 pounds.
She's muscled up also.
How much can she bench press?
You want to make something of it?
I do remember that time where I ran into Natalie Portman at a bar, and she said, "You want to step outside?"
Yeah. No, she's ripped. Are you kidding me? Okay. But she's going to have apparently the same kind of strengths and abilities as Thor. So that's going to be coming out in the next year or so as well.
Cute Little Lion movie made a lot of money?
The Cute Little Lion movie killed at the box office over the weekend.
Meaning
that it did very well. Steve, it roared at the box office.
Roar!
If you will. Made $185 million worldwide. It broke all kinds of records. The biggest domestic movie of all time for a Disney remake, biggest Disney opening of all time outside of their Marvel or Star Wars movies, the biggest launch for a PG-rated movie ever, biggest July movie opening ever. It opens as the ninth biggest movie opening of all time.
Makes me wonder if Jimmy Buffett should start doing Hakuna Matata in his concerts. You know, I mean, he's had an awful lot of success.
Very,
but
very, very popular.
Doesn't Hakuna Matata, No Worries, doesn't that sound like a Buffett song? I mean, should be in there
right
away.
It does sound like one, indeed. What's so interesting is that this movie, you know, some critics were so just beat this movie to shreds. I happen to like it very much. And, you know, they do this thing called Cinema Score, where they ask people when they're coming out of the theaters whether they liked it or not. And it scored an A by audiences. So
some of the other critics are stupid.
People really, really, really like this
movie. Let's name the stupid critics. Who are they?
Well, let's go down the list.
ASAP Rocky is what?
He's a popular rapper.
And what does Trump have to do with him?
ASAP Rocky got arrested in Sweden. He got into a fight. and has been in jail for almost a couple of weeks now. Got into a fight while they're gathering. The Swedish authorities say that they're gathering evidence on this.
The Swedish are a very peaceful people. I don't think we should punch them.
Well, I don't know what happened exactly with the altercation itself. Here's what I know. Is that with all the problems that are going on in the world right now, this became a priority for President Trump to intervene to try to get this rapper out of jail in Sweden because Donald Trump's friend Kanye West called him and asked him to intervene.
I love the fact that Kanye West can get a hold of the President of the United States at a moment's notice.
Kanye West apparently has a direct phone line to the President. There's the Kremlin,
so
and there's Kanye West that can get a hold of the president just by picking up the phone. So the president, then, he tweets over the weekend that he has vouched for, he says, I don't know anything about ASAP Rocky, but I'm vouching for him, and says that, you know, he'll post bail for him. Went out of his way to, try to do something. The Swedish government says that this is not his place to get involved in this. The Swedish judicial system will work through this and their judicial system as they normally do. But wait, there's more. Justin Bieber then gets involved in this also. He tweets out.
There's a real brain battle going on now, huh?
He tweets out, thank you to the president. Thank you for helping my friend. Appreciate you trying to help him. But you're going to like this. He also tweets out, now can you let those kids out of cages?
Yeah, amen to that. Good job, Beeps.
Yeah, so.
And Eddie Murphy coming back to stand-up. Dean will be talking about that throughout the morning, because you should watch Channel 9 Morning News with the sound down so you can hear the show.
It's a delightful show. I just learned yesterday that you're going to be doing your show here when we do our back-to-school kids' fair.
Yep.
In August.
I look forward to being in the parking lot where you normally make me stand whenever I come to Channel 9.
We don't like to let Steve in the building.
I try to get past security. They go, no, go stand in the parking lot. We'll get to you when we can.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
Sponsored by Ravinia. Back with the news next.
3-on-2 to center. Here's Christopher Steed. Stops up. Hands on. Lost control of the puck. Bowden turns and couldn't get a shot to the net. Chance again for Steed. He shoots. He scores! Instead of panicking, gets control and absolutely puts it the only place where he's going to beat Roberto Luongo.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Steeger! Coming to Blackhawks Convention this coming weekend. Christopher Steeg will be there celebrating the 10-year anniversary of his first cup and the first Blackhawks Cup since 1961. First Steeg came back and won in 2015 as well. Do we have tickets to give away?
We sure do.
Well, Super Joe, we should do that. What was Versteeg's number? I don't remember.
32.
Caller 32 wins tickets for the weekend. And this isn't just a one-hitter, right? This passes for the whole weekend?
It sure is.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the number if you can make it this weekend. On Friday, Dave, you and I will do the radio opening for this. I'm pretty sure Roe's going to be broadcasting from there, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So then Roe will toss it to us, as only broadcasters can. And then you and I will do the live play-by-play of the opening ceremonies.
Yes. Although the ceremonies kind of take care of themselves.
I don't think so. I don't think it would be done without us.
Well, no, that's probably true.
And after that, I'm going to go to another room, a room I don't even know. Adam Birch and I will co-host a variety show with Blackhawks players and fans.
I think that will be great.
Should be fun.
Very entertaining.
Good way to kick off Blackhawks Convention. 10 years since that first cup, the missing puck.
Can you believe that?
It's crazy.
This is the 10th anniversary season coming up.
So Versteeg may join us before the morning's up as well, but he's playing with Rockford now, and he's obviously still part of the Blackhawks organization. He's going to be there for the convention this weekend. Oh, by the way, you were talking about Shane Lowry during the sports.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I hold in my hand the results of our picks. Now, Mary Vandeveld, your picks were made by Jen DeSalvo.
Really?
Didn't go well.
Oh.
Darn. Let me go in reverse.
I was doing pretty good at that.
You won the Masters, I think.
Yes, I think I did.
I can't remember who won the PGA. Dave won the U.S. Open. I can't remember who won the PGA.
Did you guys ever say that on the air? Because I was away at the time.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Of course we did.
I don't remember who won the PGA. Was it Dave? I thought it was Dave.
I think it was me. Wasn't it me? I think it was
no.
me.
No.
Well, Steve Grzanich, you finished last this time. Oh. Tough break for you.
You picked Bob Barker.
He picked Carl Spackler, Bob Barker, and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
One of these days.
49 over par is where you ended up. And remember, low score is a winner. I tried to assign you scores related to the people that were in the event. So Carl Spackler, I gave you J.B. Holmes because he played like Carl Spackler. Okay. So that meant you were 6 over there. Bob Barker, the closest thing I could come to Bob Barker was Phil Mickelson.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to see a tree.
No trees involved, but Phil, because of the money.
Or a rescue dog.
16 over. And Jack Nicholson, again, I just went with, basically I assigned David Duval to anybody that I couldn't pick up a name with. David Duval finished dead last at 27 over par. So that's how you got to 49.
Shot a 91, I believe, on the first day.
On the first day. Yeah. Not good. Not good.
Well, someday this team is going to pull through. Someday they're going to win.
Michael, you were 43 over. You were second to last. Jen DeSalvo, third to last at 42 over. And then came in me. I was at plus 9. Third place in the shindig was Rokan. Rokan, who finished minus 12 in the event.
Not bad.
Oh, no, he picked minus 12. Sorry. He was plus 3 overall. Super Joe, you were second. Super Joe was second at minus 4. And Dave Ennett, you've won again. Dave Ennett, you won the British Open. You're 11 under.
And
much like Shane, it was a blowout. Wasn't close.
And if I hadn't picked Rory McIlroy, it would have been more of a, I mean, or if he had avoided shooting a, what, 78 in the first round?
79.
Because he came back with a 65 on Friday and almost made the cut.
You know, all three of my golfers made the cut. I'm just going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And
maybe I think I won.
Well, you and Dave Ennett, both, all three of your golfers made the cut.
Yeah, congrats, guys.
Joe, I love you, but you didn't win.
Why didn't you have Jimmy Buffett play?
Well, we forgot to ask Buffett. We forgot to ask Ryan Dempster. We forgot to ask my mother.
Ah.
So it was a limited field.
Yeah,
well,
then it doesn't count.
Buffett was here Friday. It was already the second round.
Oh, it's Buffett. I would have given him a break. I would have let him get in. Oh, here's Versteeg. Chris Versteeg joining us. That's good. Well, you probably heard us talking about you, huh? Is that why we got you?
No, not at all. I was actually enjoying your golf talk.
Steger, you going to play with Rockford this fall?
Yeah, that's the plan. Go there in the fall, and well, go to camp first, and then go there right after.
You still got a lot of hockey left in you, man. You're not an old guy yet.
Well, I think I got a lot of hockey left in me, so that's why I continue to want to play and, you know, being I guess healthy with my one hip being good now is it was exciting for me to play last season a last little bit in Sweden, so that felt good and feel good to play again.
Welcome back to the organization. Now, Dave and I were talking. Dave Ennett and I were talking off the air. I think we're on the air. I forget. You know, I am old. About the fact it's been 10 years since that first cup, your first cup of two. It seems like that was 10 minutes ago, Chris.
Yeah, it was funny. Someone asked me about the convention today, and I think I saw something that they're going to talk about some of the guys from that team. And you realize, you know, coming up here is the 10-year anniversary. And it does really feel like yesterday, all the memories and the times. And, I mean, time flies, but wow, that was a time of my life that it was such a whirlwind, and maybe you take a little bit of it for granted, but it sure flies, and it was an exciting time.
And there's still a bunch of guys on this team who were part of that Stanley Cup in 2010, but you've had kind of an interesting path since over the past 10 years. Bring us up to date, Chris, because you played overseas last season, didn't you?
Yeah, I ended up having hip surgery last season, and didn't really have many options. I had a couple options over here, but then I ended up signing in Russia and kind of showed up there a bit late. And a couple situations, I had to come home pretty soon after. So I didn't really get a play, and then I was just sitting at home for 3.5 months and got called from a team in Sweden who was not really in the playoffs at the time and needed some help, and got transferred to a team in Sweden to finish the season in playoffs.
The event this weekend is going to be nothing but fun. You know the drill. You've been to these conventions before. And this Blackhawks team looks pretty loaded for the fall as well. I hope we see you with the Indian head sweater as well. But in the meantime, I know you're going to have fun in Rockford.
Yeah, that would be cool to get back to the NHL. You know, talking with Bernie as we did at my, you know, coming into Rockford and playing there first and foremost, and playing an important role is big for me.
Sure.
And helping the young guys as well. So I know I still have a lot of hockey left, especially going to Sweden and not really skating for 3.5 months and being able to have a point a game in a really hard league to score. And so that kind of gave me confidence again. And talking to Bernie that I still want to play an important role and help the team and help the young kids at the same time. And if an NHL option comes from there, then that's great. So I wouldn't count it out that it would never happen again, because the way I've been skating and training, I feel awfully good.
Well, yeah, and I respect your dedication to the game, because a lot of guys could go, you know what, I had a nice run. I'm going to go put on a few pounds and kick back, but you still want to play. So I have no question in my mind you're going to be successful. We look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yeah, no, thank you. And coming back, you know, it is 33, and at one point after Russia, I thought to retire, you know. I thought that was kind of it, and I sat at home doing nothing, and I realized that's not for me. So going to Sweden was an exciting time for me, an exciting time to play hockey and to play an important role again. So
Did you meet the chef from the Muppets while you were there?
No. Oh, the chef from the Muppets?
Yeah, the Swedish chef from the Muppets. Doesn't he live in Sweden? He moved to New York.
I don't know. I didn't meet any chef from the Muppets. No.
Chris, and your name is spelled correctly on the Stanley Cup now, isn't it?
Yeah, they screwed that up right away. That's back 2010. That was that one.
But they fixed it, right? Did they fix it?
Fixed. Yeah, they fixed it. So if you actually look at it a little close, it's a little more punched out than the other names.
They used Whiteout. Remember Whiteout? They used Whiteout. So.
Yeah, they used Whiteout back in the day. Cool. I just learned that. Now it's permanent ink.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend.
For sure. Can't wait to see you all.
All right, thanks. That's Christopher Stieg, Chicago Blackhawks organization, Rockford IceHogs.
10 years. And look, I mean, there are Kane, Taves, Keith, Seabrook. I mean, these guys, they're still going, right? And they were all part of that
team
10 years ago.
I have a distinct memory of Brian Campbell and I walking into Carmine's with Versteeg and Pete Hassan, the great Pete Hassan, sitting at the table. We sit down. We have a late dinner with those guys. So I was doing the afternoon show. And then as a courtesy, when dinner was done, I said, I got this. Not a word from the three of them.
That's a fond memory for you?
No, I didn't say fond. I said distinct.
I like they earned it.
Yeah, of course. We're talking about high school reunions, and the one I missed on Friday night says 262 texter Cookie, one of our favorite listeners. I feel reunions and parties are good for the local economy, planning banquet halls, bartenders, food res. I was on committee for my 40th Catholic high school reunion a couple of years ago. Set up a Facebook group page, icebreaker on a Friday night, pizza and beer on Saturday night. My grad class size, 165, 20 participated, 5 or 6 have passed away. No past teachers, priests, or sisters could attend. But we all had a good time. Small group, good time, had by all. And new friends reacquainted on Facebook. That's the thing, right? And that's what I missed out on. A lot of the, the clicky high school pretenses drop, and you're just, you know, people now. You're just people going.
No, I think it's totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer the clicks.
Right.
And I try to get them started whenever I can. You know me.
Yes.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, stand by. Oh, I should tell you this. 9 o'clock news hour. Ryan Nobles will join us from CNN in just a few minutes. Mark Rolfing from NBC's golf coverage.
To talk about me winning.
Talk about you winning. That's why he's calling.
Debatable.
And Mike Love from the Beach Boys, all coming up. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
We've been seeing something really strange happening. And that we have seen a massive attack against the working class of this country.
Yeah.
All right. We have seen efforts to break unions. We've seen efforts to throw millions of people off the health care that they have.
Preach it, Bernie.
We've seen efforts to refuse to raise the minimum wage to a living wage.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Nobody works harder than Ryan Nobles. Ryan Nobles from CNN. He works 8 days a week. He takes 10 minutes off, and he works on night. That's how busy he is. And Ryan Nobles has been following Bernie Sanders around the country. Good morning, Ryan.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for letting me push back my time a little bit. I got stuck on a plane last night in Atlanta. I had to spend the night. Got on a plane this morning during our normal time. So back in D.C. now, and I'm happy to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate it. By the way, where I'm still getting questions on why I missed my high school reunion, same story. On Thursday, I had not one, not two, but three flights canceled. And I almost ended up in your town. I started out going to Syracuse, canceled. Then I moved it to Rochester, canceled. Then I moved it to Buffalo, canceled.
Oh, man.
However, my golf clubs flew later that night. Actually, not until Friday. They wouldn't let me have my golf clubs, but they flew to Rochester and back. So they had a nice weekend.
I actually spent quite a few hours in the Chicago Midway Airport on Friday night, so I was in Chicago. I'm surprised you didn't want to come over and have a beer with me.
You should have called. I would have come back in. Come on. What are you talking about? All right, so what's this controversy with Bernie Sanders and the minimum wage within his own staff?
Well, I do think it's a problem for him. I don't know if it's necessarily as big as it's being made out to be, but essentially the crux of the issue here is that Bernie and his campaign staff unionized, so they went into a collective bargaining agreement. They agreed to a salary for his lowest level field staffers of $36,000 a year, which under a 40-hour work week works out to a little bit more than the $15 an hour that, you know, Bernie has railed against it should be the federal minimum wage. Now, it also includes a lot of other fringe benefits that low-level campaign staff don't normally get. Full benefits, 100% premium. It also includes a gas card for their travel, a parental leave, all kinds of things that one doesn't normally get. But the problem became that after the campaign started ramping up, you know, these are salaried employees, not hourly employees, and they started working a heck of a lot more than 40 hours, in many cases up to 60 hours. When you start to bump up those hours, now it's no longer $15 an hour. So they started complaining about it, and they did go through their negotiating process with their union, the Union of Food and Commercial Workers, and they were in the process of renegotiating the terms of the contract when a couple of rogue employees went to the Washington Post and complained about it. And now here's Bernie Sanders, who's the champion of the working man, now the people that work for him complaining about it. So this is an issue that they're dealing with. Bernie said that he's disappointed that they went outside the parameters of this collective bargaining agreement. But Bernie getting a sense of what it's like to kind of be the man, I guess, in a situation like this, because now it's his own staff railing against him.
Is there going to be some new form in 2020 blocking out, defensively blocking out Bernie from the nomination? Obviously, last time, for those paying attention, the fix was in. Hillary had this superdelegate thing going on, and she was a lock, and the DNC, you know, just thought Bernie was a pain in the ass too much of the time. Is Bernie getting blocked out again?
No, I really think that in large part because of the way that Sanders and his influence in the party in two respects. One, just the fact that he got so many votes in 2016, and two, the fact that a large portion of this Democratic electorate is now coming around to his way of thinking on some of these big progressive issues. They've really reformed the DNC process quite a bit. These superdelegates no longer have nearly the level of influence that they had 4 years ago. And the process is a lot more streamlined, meaning that, you know, you collect a certain percentage of the vote in the state, and that equals a certain amount of delegates in the nominating contest. You know, the problem for Bernie this time around is that he's got a field of, you know, 22 other candidates that he's running up against, including, you know, a fair number of candidates who are just as liberal as he is. So I think if Bernie loses this time around, it's going to be very difficult for him to complain that the system was stacked against him. Now, that doesn't mean he won't, Steve. We should be clear about that. But I think that the DNC has gone to great pains to try and make this process as fair as possible, Bernie Sanders or not.
The thing that the Democrat revolutionaries need to accept is the vast middle of this country, and I'm not talking about middle of the country geographically, I'm talking about the middle of the country that is in the far right or the far left, they're just not interested in a revolution. They're not interested in some sort of overthrow. They're not interested in a reinvention of health care that may or may not work. They're not interested in all of it. And the more far to the... There's no difference between the far right and the far left in the amount that you turn off middle voters. And I think that's a real risk for the Democrats.
Well, and that's absolutely the argument that Joe Biden is making, right? Specifically when it comes to Bernie Sanders' plan for health care. Biden's argument is that you can't just have a system that we've had in place that has as its foundation private health insurance
you know, for the bulk of the country's existence, and then Bernie Sanders takes over as president, flip a switch, and then everybody's covered under a government health insurance program. It doesn't work that way. It's going to require a level of transition, and that Bernie hasn't necessarily calculated the risks involved in that, and he's claiming that there could be people that lose coverage. It could lapse during that process. Now, Bernie strongly pushes back against that. He says and argues that Biden is, you know, misinterpreting the finer points of his plan. But I think, to your point, Steve, what Joe Biden's essentially trying to do is lay a level of doubt with Bernie Sanders. And I think you're right. If you're supporting Bernie Sanders, you're all in on the revolution. You want everything to be flipped in a big way. And Biden's argument is you don't want things flipped in a big way. You just want Donald Trump out of office. And if that's what you truly want, I'm your safest bet.
Big change takes time. It doesn't happen in one election cycle, and it certainly doesn't happen because you're throwing a temper tantrum and you want it to happen. And until the Democrats get their act together, Trump is going to be hard to beat, a sentence I never thought would fall out of my mouth. BuzzFeed News is reporting this morning that two unofficial U.S. operatives reporting to Trump's lawyer privately lobbied the government of Ukraine to help him win in 2020. So it's already underway. The meddling with foreign governments is already underway. All right, one other thing going on this week before you get out of your car, and that is that Bob Mueller is going to be testifying on Wednesday. There's a question of whether or not he's going to make any news, mostly because the egos in Congress probably won't ask the right questions. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a big risk here for Democrats in that with... You know, that Mueller is not the type of person that's going to play games, right? So he's not going to, you know, he said repeatedly that he is not going to go outside the confines of what he's already written in his report. So as a result, I think you're going to end up seeing a situation where it's actually Democrats that are trying to hold his feet to the fire and push him to say things that he doesn't want to say. And in that respect, you know, this is, you know, Bob Mueller is the one that knows, he's a prosecutor at his core. He knows prosecutorial tricks probably a lot better than these rank-and-file members of Congress. So the idea that they're going to back him into some sort of a corner where he's going to reveal something that he doesn't want to reveal or isn't available to be revealed, I think is a long shot. This is going to be a risky kind of optics, I think, for the Democrats. And I also think it's dangerous for the Republicans, too, because they're going to find themselves in a position where they're going to try and tar Robert Mueller. And the guy's pretty cool, and he's going to probably just end up saying not a whole heck of a lot, and we're going to waste a lot of time in this. But as the way Washington goes, Steve, we can never avoid a circus if one is available. So I think that's what we're going to see this week.
Well, the two questions, and there's more than two, but the two questions I'd love to hear Mueller answer is, the president and Republicans have described this as a witch hunt, have questioned your credibility and your honor. How do you feel about that? And then the other question, which I think is very obvious, is, the president says he's completely exonerated. If not for the policy of the Department of Justice, would you recommend that the president be indicted? And, you know, right, those are two things that ought to be asked. They could be asked in 30 seconds.
And they've been answered in the Mueller report, right? And so, you know, I think, and I do think that I do think that's part of what the Democrats believe is necessary to actually hear the words coming out of Robert Mueller's mouth will mean more than the fact that it's sitting there in black and white in the Mueller report, and that will have some sort of resonance. But, you know, I think the question is, Steve, is that most Americans have probably made their mind up about this already. Robert Mueller actually uttering the words may not make a whole heck of a lot of a difference.
Well, time will tell as we go through another wacky week in Washington. Thanks for taking the time this morning. Welcome back.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you adjusting the schedule. Have a great week.
No worries. That's Ryan Nobles. Mike Love from the Beach Boys is still to come. Mark Rolfing from NBC and the Golf Channel still to come.
Golf's a weird sport, and you never know what's around the corner, and that's why you always kind of need to remind yourself, and you need to have the people there to remind you that you need to just fight through the bad times. And, you know, I sat in the car park in Carnoustie on the Thursday. It was probably, you know, almost like a year ago right to this week, and I cried. My golf wasn't my friend at the time. It was, you know, something that it was becoming very stressful and was weighing on me, and I just didn't like doing it. And look, 12, what a difference a year makes, I suppose.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Shane Lowry, he's magically delicious. One in a bit of a walk. I mean, it got as close as three shots yesterday, but then it just didn't get any closer. on a day where J.B. Holmes, professional golfer, shot 87, Shane Lowry held on to his four-shot lead and won his first major at the British Open. That was a cool story.
And he said the crowd was lovely.
Well, they went nuts for him.
Yeah.
The Northern Irish are going nuts for their Southern friend, their Irishman. Anyway, it was a you know, for a tournament that was a bit of a blowout, it was fun to watch. And nice job by NBC and the Golf Channel, as usual, as Mark Rolfing joins us. Good morning, Mr. Rolfing.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and hello, Chicago.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, my friend. Any thoughts on the Open?
I just thought it was a great Open. You know, I hadn't been to Northern Ireland other than once about 20 years ago, and like a lot of visitors and a lot of Americans I know, it just fell hard for Northern Ireland. We had a really, really good week. The golf course, I thought, was maybe the best of any of the Open rotation outside of St. Andrews, and the people here were just phenomenal. They waited so long to have it open again, 68 years, and kind of opened up their whole neighborhood to visitors, and it was a really, really cool week.
I got to play it, right? I mean, that's got to be on the bucket list, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it was the greenest links I've ever seen, but also it didn't play totally like a link. So many of the greens are elevated, and you can't really bounce the ball up in a lot of cases. And it was really hard yesterday when the elements came in. It was exactly what Shane Lowry did. You know, he coughed up a four-stroke lead at the U.S. Open at Oakmont with 18 holes to go a few years back, and I really feel like what he needed yesterday was tough conditions because it made it almost impossible for any of the pursuers to go really low.
Hey, Mark, what do you think happened to Rory McIlroy to start this tournament? Of course, he did kind of bounce back on Friday, but just seemed like a really uncharacteristic performance, especially with so much riding on this for him.
You know, Steve, I feel like Rory McIlroy plays his best golf when he plays with freedom, when he's totally free. A lot of times we see him not start tournaments well, but then by Friday, he's just letting it fly, and, you know, by Sunday, he's coming in the back door for another top five. I thought Rory had more pressure on him than any other player in the field. You know, the weight of a country on him, really, and you know, he hit the first shot out of bounds. I wasn't a big fan of that in-course out of bounds. We saw it catch a couple guys,
yeah,
including Ricky Fowler and J.B. Holmes yesterday. But I felt like Rory played totally free on Friday, nearly made the cut. There was just a lot of pressure on him, and it showed.
Yeah, and I don't want to belabor the point on J.B. Holmes. You know, David Duval's 91 is almost understandable, almost. Because he hasn't played with any regularity, and he hasn't been right for many years. And he's not a regular on tour anymore. J.B. Holmes shooting 87 yesterday caught me off guard, because it didn't appear that he quit during the round, but he lost all neuromuscular control. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
No, he lost track of what he was doing, too. You know, he's a very slow player. And when you're playing in a two ball with a guy like Brooks Koepka, who plays very fast, I'm pretty sure it became evident to JB as the round went on, you know, that he was having an impact on what Koepka was doing. And that couldn't have been comfortable for him. They counted yesterday the amount of time from when they announced his name on the first tee. It was 62 seconds later, over a minute later, that he actually struck the shot that, of course, ended up out of bounds. And so I think this stigma that he's getting about being difficult to play with is really starting to come to fruition, and I think he's really got to take a look at himself and say, you know what, I'm going to have to be more compatible to these guys I'm playing with, otherwise it's going to be really tough. It felt awkward to me watching that twosome yesterday.
He actually plumb bobbed a one-footer earlier this year. That's the kind of thing on a municipal course that would get you in a fist fight. Hey, speaking of local golf, nobody knows Chicago golf better than you, you Chicago kid. How are things going with the design on the South Shore?
You know, things are going really well. The Obama Library seems to be back on track. The Presidential Center and the federal lawsuit has been tossed out. There are still a lot of issues that need to be dealt with down there, but it all seems to be coming together. We've got a new mayor in town, obviously, that has to get acclimated and comfortable with the project. But it just has so many benefits for the community. It's such a feel-good story, I think, going to create a tremendous economic boon to the area. And frankly, Steve, I think if these golf courses down there don't get fixed up, they're 100 years old. They haven't had any capital improvements in 20 or 30 years. I'm really not sure they're going to be sustainable. They need new irrigation systems. They need new training.
Right.
And here's an opportunity to do it. Forget Tiger Woods for a minute. Here's an opportunity for private money come in to do this, and I don't see that happening again. So hopefully things are going to move along, and having Tiger come to town in about 3 weeks for BMW is not going to hurt at all.
Well, and here's the thing. You and Mike Kaiser both are Chicago guys who want this to happen for the community, not just for golf. You know, Tiger doesn't need the money. It's a play to make this a world-class facility on the South Shore, give kids a chance to be outside, enjoy the game. We got to keep pushing for it. All right, BMW, NBC has it. It's only a couple of weeks away. Top 70 players in the world. New course, Medina number 3. Where do you rank Medina number 3 in the world?
You know, I love Medina number 3. You know, the Ryder Cup out there was one of my favorites. Events ever other than the outcome. I still don't know how the Americans didn't win that Ryder Cup.
Same here.
But I played about 3 weeks ago out there, Steve, in the Robbie Gold celebrity fundraiser for the Lurie Hospital. And I was worried after the tough spring that we had there and all the wetness and cold and then heat. I thought it was going to be kind of tracked up, but it was really in very, very good shape. And I think moving these FedEx Cup playoffs into August is really going to change the dynamic of those things. They got a tremendous break when the PGA moved from August to May. So now we just completed yesterday the last major of the season. We've got 3 weeks, and I think it's going to do nothing but help the FedEx Cup playoffs. I think that one is going to be a corker in Chicago in a couple weeks.
And building the game, the best way to do that is exposure, and it's tough to fight football. You know, I don't know if you noticed, Mark, but they lost a bunch of trees with lightning and thunderstorms and all the rain and stuff out at Medina. But these guys don't hit the trees like I do.
Or me.
So, hey, good talking to you, man. Great job as always.
Take care, Steve.
There you go. Mark Rolfing, NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. Mike Love from the Beach Boys coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
1, 2, 3, go.
Rhythm on my bubble gum. The sun is out and I want some. It's not hard, not far to reach. We can hit your ride to Rockaway Beach.
How cool is that? Rock, come on. Beach. Rockaway Beach, a Ramon song? Mike Love and the Beach Boys wrapping up a European tour in Germany. He joins us from Germany this morning, this afternoon for him. Good afternoon.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I love that song, man. I haven't heard it. I know it dropped today. It's Rockaway Beach.
We love it too. It's in our encore, like immediately, and even the people in East Germany love that song.
12 Sides of Summer, in stores now, iTunes.com, Amazon.com, Spotify, basically wherever you get your music. You got some great stuff on here, old hits, new stuff mixed in, and Marky Ramon, I know, played drums on Rockaway Beach, a Ramon song earlier this year. Does he play on that when you did the studio version?
No, our band did it. John Cowsill is our drummer.
Okay.
Cowsill's family fame.
Sure, sure.
But, Marky came out and joined us on our encore. We did a three-song encore out in Long Island, which is near where he lives. But
right.
That was classic. He really took it seriously. He was studying the our songs and stuff, and he was fabulous. It was fun.
He's a great musician.
It's all about fun.
He's a great musician.
Yeah.
You don't ask him to travel too far. He's still got some of that Ramon's anger. Listen, the Beach Boys and Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band coming to Ravinia in just a couple of weeks, August 3rd and 4th. Have you played with Ringo before?
a long time ago, he came out to Washington, D.C. when we were doing some big, huge concerts on the Mall. And there was one year where James Watt said rock music wasn't appropriate for July 4th. Well, we came back the next year, and Ringo joined us. And that was so much fun. So it's going to be deja vu all over again. Yeah, August 3rd and 4th.
How good a drummer is Ringo?
I think he's a pretty good drummer and singer, and is one of the most popular drummers in the planet. How's that?
Well, you know, there's no question about that, but I've heard different stories. You know, some people want to pop Ringo as, oh, yeah, Ringo was in the Beatles, too. The Beatles aren't the Beatles without Ringo.
John Lennon said, exactly. John Lennon once said, Ringo's not even the best drummer in the Beatles, which I think is hilarious. Good old John, you know?
Yeah, helping him out, right? By the way, speaking of the Beatles, did you know this, Dave Bennett? The Beach Boys are the only artists to ever have 12, you ready? 12 top 10 singles within 5 years. Nobody but the Beach Boys.
Wow.
Well, the Beatles, Beach Boys, and I think Michael Jackson did pretty well, too.
I've never heard of those other two you mentioned.
Yes, right.
Have you played Ravinia?
Oh, many times, and we sell it out on our own. I think there's going to be pandemonium on the 3rd and 4th.
No question.
You know, the Saturday night somewhere is pretty much sold out. But Sunday, I think there's some space left, but, you know, I don't think you get too close to the stage, but... But, you know, Ravinia is a party, man. It's a beautiful place in the summertime. We're doing Saturday night and Sunday afternoon, which ought to be awesome.
I know, but you love Chicago, and Chicago loves you back. And you got to get home from Germany. So safe travels, my friend. It's Mike Love from the Beach Boys. I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you for having me on the program, and we'll see you soon enough, and we'll play some of these 12 Sides of Summer songs on that very show on the 3rd and 4th.
Oh, that's great. Right there. There you go. That's Mike Love from the Beach Boys. And, again, Rockaway Beach. Beach Boys tearing it up on a Ramones song.
Yeah, and I've seen them at Ravinia a number of times. It's a great venue. That's a great place to see them, too.
I sang with Mike Love on stage once.
Did he know that?
There's a slight chance he wouldn't remember. I did background vocals at a radio station I worked with in Minneapolis, KDWB. We had these big star party things. Mm-hmm. And Mike Love was in with a couple of the Beach Boys, and they said, come on up, and I sang on, I think it was California Dreamin' was one, and then Surfing USA.
That's pretty cool.
But I think it was like a Linda McCartney thing where they turned my microphone down. So, and by the way, they should have. 9:57, Steve's coming up. Stand by for that. Thank you for listening. As always, it's 10 o'clock, and Bill F. is here to introduce his special guest co-host in a second. Is this a good time for you to finally admit we don't know where Wendy is?
Yeah, no one's sure where she is. Yeah. I don't want to create panic with her family. But
in the streets.
It's been days since anyone has seen her.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to take a week off, but when, you know, it gets to be 7, 8, 9 days, that's when you notify the concern. Radio authorities that a radio person is missing.
Yes, right.
So
we're not trying to scare people, but no one knows where she is.
So if you've seen Wendy, please put a pin on the spotter map and call Bill.
Yes.
So right, please. Who's your special guest co-host?
It's Jim Toronto.
No, it's not.
Hey, yeah. Went so well last week.
Yep.
We decided to do it again.
Yep. By the way, there's a network, I think it's called Buzzer or Buzz.
Yes, Buzzer.
We were old just game talking shows.
About that. I was just that's my favorite station.
So I love Match Game.
Yes.
I think Gene Rayburn is the most underrated game show host ever. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
And I used to watch him when I was a kid.
He's the reason you hold to this day a very long, thin microphone.
A microphone. Right? Oh,
thank God you said microphone.
Yeah, it's a microphone.
It's called the Rayburn. I work with the Rayburn. So on the buzzer, you got your Charles Nelson Reilly, and then occasionally Paul Lynde. And your laugh, I love your laugh. I've always loved your laugh. And occasionally used it on Gary's show. But your laugh, I can't decide if it's Charles Nelson Reilly or if it's Paul Lynde or if it's in between.
Well, is it a hybrid of the two?
Well, it's kind of a hybrid in that I do, whenever there is a little innuendo, I will do the... Because I just love, I love Charles.
Right, but there's no Barney Rubble in there.
No, Paul's a little, hi, Sammy.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But they both sort of have that head shake kind of thing.
Well, because I grew up... I watch Buzzer almost 24 hours a day. I was telling him, between Match
Game... You watch Supermarket Sweep?
Oh, I never watched it. It was on
people
the air.
People running around chasing a salami?
And now I go to now I'm always yelling at the people, don't go for the hams first.
Right.
Get those special items and go for the hams last. The hams are always there.
When does it occur to you that was 40 years ago? I know.
How scary is that? But between Tattletales... We're just talking about Tattletales.
Tattletales. You remember Tattletales?
Sure.
Could not be more inappropriate.
Oh,
The stuff that they do.
The questions
could not be more inappropriate.
They talk about women. They completely objectify women.
Absolutely.
It's episode. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Every single episode.
Or even some of the dumb Dora questions on Magic. Never ask those questions today.
And I think Richard Dawson got the kissing thing from Gene Rayburn, because I'd forgotten about this on Match Game. Gene Rayburn used to go, there's a new panelist, a little banaka.
Yes.
And then he'd bend over and slam his tongue in her
mouth. They would kiss Elaine Joyce or Bonnie Franklin or Joanne Flug.
Slightly uncomfortable.
The 70s. One 10-year HR violation. What are you doing today?
Well, what you just did, that was...
Oh, you're going to do that? That was the opening?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There goes,
we'll find something else.
Now what are we going to talk
about?
Find
something. A little Desmond Tutu thrown in.
Desmond
Tutu. You know,
yeah.
I'm always socially...
Yeah.
You don't hear a Boutros golly?
Chicago. Oh, sorry.
See you tomorrow.
It's a little gold in my ear, too.
Ready to go.
Chicago story until 24/7.
Oh, Golda was a ton of laughs.
And a looker.
WGN Chicago.